te Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter 19, which is entitled The Island of Jambudvip, text number 14. Yata ai ika amusmika kamalampata suteshu dareshu daneshu chintayam sanketa vidvan kukalivara atyaya yaha tasya yatna srama eva kevalam yatai kamusmika kamalampata suteshu dareshu daneshu chintayam shanketa vidvan kukale varatyayat yastasya yatna srama eva kevalam yatai kamusmika kamalampata suteshu dareshu daneshu chintayam sanketa vidvam kukale varatyaya yastasya yatna srama eva kevalam yatai kamusmika kamalampata suteshu dareshu daneshu chintayam Keta vidvan kukale varatyaya yastasya yatna srama eva kevalam
Yeah.
Amusmika. In the expected future life. Kamalampata. A person who is very attached to lusty desires for bodily enjoyment. Suteshu. Children. Dareshu, wife. Daneshu, wealth. Chintaya, thinking about. Shanketa, is afraid. Vidvan, a person advanced in spiritual knowledge. Kukkalevara, of this body, which is full of stool and urine. Atyayat, because of loss. Yaha, anyone. Tasya, his. Yatna, endeavors. Srama, a waste of time and energy. Eva, certainly. Kevalam, only. Translation purport by His Divine Grace. Materialists are generally very attached to their present bodily comforts and to the bodily comforts they expect in the future. Therefore, they are always absorbed in thoughts of their wives, children, and wealth, and are afraid of giving up their bodies, which are full of stool and urine. If a person engaged in Krishna consciousness, however, is also afraid of giving up his body, what is the use of his having labored to study the Shastras? It was simply a waste of time. Please repeat. Materialists are generally very attached to their present bodily comforts and to the bodily comforts they expect in the future. Therefore, they are always absorbed in thoughts of their wives, children, and wealth, and are afraid of giving up their bodies, which are full of stool and urine. If a person engages in Krishna consciousness, however, is also afraid of giving up this body, what is the use of his having labored to study the Shastras? It was simply a waste of time. Purport. At the time of death, a materialist thinks of his wife and children. He is absorbed in thinking of how they will live and how and who will take care of them after he leaves. Consequently, he is never prepared to give up his body. Rather, he wants to continue to live in his body, to serve his society, family, friends, and so on. Therefore, by practicing the mystic yoga system, one must become detached from bodily relationships. If despite practicing bhakti yoga and studying all the Vedic literature, one is afraid of giving up his bad body, which is the cause of all his suffering, what is the use of his attempts to advance in spiritual life? The secret of success in practicing yoga is to become free from bodily attachments. Sri Narottama Das Thakur says, Deha smriti nahi yara samsara bandana kaham tara. One whose practice has freed him from the anxieties of bodily needs is no longer in conditioned life. Such a person is freed from conditional bondage. A person in Krishna consciousness must fully discharge his devotional duties without material attachment. Then his liberation is guaranteed. Om Agyan Kumiranda Shagyan Shrakaya Shakshuran Munitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Om Vishmadaya Krishna Vistamitale Shumite Sattva Vidyas Kaswami Pinamni Om Vishmadaya Krishna Vistamitale Shumite Bhakti Vedanta Swami Pinamni Namaste Sarasvata Devi Uravani Pracharini Nirvishesa Sunyavadi Paschacharni Sadari. So here Srila Sukadev Goswami is speaking this verse, which is very clear and very strong. So it's a point that was made 5,000 years ago. It was not a point made by Srila Prabhupada some 40, 50 years ago, but it was a point made 5,000 years ago, saying that if a person engaged in Krishna consciousness is also afraid of giving up his body, what is the use of his having labor to study the Shastras? It was simply a waste of time. So this is a very strong statement, and this is not something we want to be put at us, and when we have to lower our head and say, indeed, I'm also afraid of giving up this body. The whole process of Krishna consciousness is meant to understand and to be conscious, to be Krishna conscious, to have full understanding of the philosophy, which then allows us to prepare for this moment of leaving this body. And because we see all around us, we see cats, dogs, we see cows, we see them leaving their body after cats and dogs, maybe after 10 years, cows maybe after 20 years, people we know, uncles, aunts, grandmother, grandfather, or parents, we see them leaving their body at a certain age. And they are struggling to accept that, as it is stated here in this translation. Materialists are generally very attached to their present body. this is the attachment to the body is so strong that even old people, they still want to pay lots of money to either do some surgery or to some special pills, which are then transported from the Amazon in Brazil, because they have the purity and the strength to revive us, etc. So much endeavor is done to keep up this health. And people with money, they are willing to spend a lot of money to keep up their health and to hold off the moment of death. Although we all have our karma, we all have our amounts of breath which are counted, and at some point we all will have to leave the body. It is very ignorant to deny that. It is very ignorant to work against that, to work against something which is so natural. And we have the opportunity to leave the body in knowledge, with understanding what is happening. And the body exists of material elements, earth, water, fire, air, and we have the other elements, the subtle elements, like the sound, the touch, the sight, and the form. And then we have the elements by which we can, like the tongue, we can taste, the nose, we can smell, the eyes, we can see, the skin, we can touch. So we have the different elements, the ears, we can hear. And then we have the working senses. The hands and the feet are working senses. The tongue is a working sense. The anus is a working sense, and the genitals are the working senses. So all these are the elements from the body. But it's all like a machinery. It's like it's not us. It's not, we are not the touch. Touch is an element that Krishna has given us through the creation of this body. Hearing is an element, important element, by which we can hear the sound, by which we can hear the sound of the Maha Mantra. So in that sense, it's the most important element of the body, because this is the one that will, even at the time of death, will serve us, will help us, because it is in this way in contact with our soul. So these are all, the hands, the feet, the tongue, these are all the elements from which the body is composed of. And once the body is decomposed or burned, then there is this elements of from what it is made, is earth, water, fire, air, and ether. So that's the if you take the body apart, then in this verse it's referred to as the body which are full of stool and urine. So the body, we know, if you open up the body, it's not very palatable. It's only the skin which makes it a little bit nice finishing. As soon as you go behind the skin, it's not very pleasant. It's even scary. Some people, they even faint when they see something, they because it affects them so strong, because we identify very strongly with the body. So that's why also we are so scared of to look inside, to look a few millimeters below the skin, because we are so... Can you put it off? Because we are so... we are so... we are so ourselves still so much conscious of our body. So Prabhupada explains the first attachment is for ourselves. There is, of course, also strong attachments for children, for family members who are directly under living with us. There is also strong attachment. But the strongest attachment is for ourselves. We can see that also when something happens, the first thing we think of is saving ourselves. Like a car accident or something, fire. First thing we want to do is make sure we ourselves are safe. That's our first reaction of the hands, of the thought, of the... And then second we think of our children, of our... But that comes also from this strong bodily identification, strong bodily connection. The example Sri Prabhupada gives the most is the one of the car. The body is the car, and the driver is the soul. So when the car gets smashed, then the soul... The driver sometimes gets smashed also, but sometimes also not. The car can be smashed and the driver, everything is fine. So examples are never perfect, but like in the body, when the body is slain, then Shishi Radha Gopinath ki. When the body is slain, the soul is not slain in all cases, because the soul is eternal, is just 1/10,000th of the top of a needle, so it is so small. In all circumstances, the soul is not slain when the body is slain. So constitutionally, we are an eternal servant of the Lord. That's our constitutional position of the soul, and if we have this understanding right, then we can we can live a life with the right understanding. But if we don't have that understanding, that the then we will have the understanding that I am this body, and that is a very sad, because especially for us devotees, one should have the right understanding. And at some point Sri Prabhupada also says that it's okay that there is some attachment. It's kind of natural that there is an attachment. Because we have this body. He gives the example, if you are a car, it's okay that you develop to some extent some attachment. You take care of the car, you clean the car, you put oil when it's needed. So naturally, whatever are our possessions, so naturally we develop some attachment. But the worst thing is to think, I am this car, I am this body. That is the bad thing. To have attachment is not good. And we also have to work on detaching ourselves from everything what we own. But to think that I am this body, that is the worst understanding. Because the body, as we spoke about all the elements, there is no life. The reason why we can enjoy this body is through the soul. That's why we can enjoy this body. Because otherwise, without our soul, there isn't even life in this body. So it was only because the soul, at the time of conception, the soul enters into the belly of the mother, mother and father, and then the mother's belly. The soul enters there when the elements come together. So, and then from that on, onwards, there is life. But we can only taste, we can only see, we can only hear when we have when the soul is there. Then these elements can function. Without soul, nothing. It's just dead matter. So even to enjoy, even to become attached, so to say, is also by the, it's also Krishna's energy which we are misusing. We are taking Krishna's energy there for all our movements and actions, and then we are, due to our misunderstanding, misconception, we are misusing that energy. We are not using it in the way that it is meant for, because it is meant for us to be used in the sense, in the real sense, namely that we are eternal servants of the Lord. And if we are acting on that, then all our actions are perfect. But if we are, you know, because when we take birth, then immediately, you know, all our surrounding start to make us conditioned. They start to give so much attention to the body. They give so much attention to the fact that we should study, because once we have a good diploma, we can have a nice job, we can earn good money, we can build our house, we can... So this is, we are impregnated from our youth, we are impregnated with all these ideas that what is right, and a lot of these ideas are, many of these ideas are related to the body and to cultivating. So from childhood on, we are cultivated into this body and to not think of what is the use of the right use of this body, or what is the constitution of the soul, body and the soul. So in that way, there is a lot of misunderstanding, and then unless we grow up in devotee families, then we grow up with total misconcepts, which then later we have to undo. And then it's a work to brainwash. To be brainwashed, it takes time. It takes years of time to be brainwashed, and then later to get rid of the brainwashing, it takes another so many years to again become free from all these misconceptions of who we are. And the strongest drive of what brings us down to the concept "I am this body" is the described by Srila Prabhupada as the sex desire, because it is it makes us very much bodily conscious. It's a bodily activity which makes us very bodily conscious. And of course, again, we can only taste the sex pleasure because of the presence of the soul, but again, it's a misuse, in most cases, it's a misuse of that energy, and it brings us down to very much mundane, very much bodily level of the level of I, me, mine. And that brings us very much to bodily consciousness. As Srila Prabhupada, when he visited with his disciple one life member in India, he presented his whole family, that man. This is my son and my other son and my daughter and my son-in-law and my daughter-in-law and my children and grandchildren. And so afterwards, Prabhupada said to his disciples, he was showing his sex life. So not, I mean, from the Krishna conscious point of view, if children within devotee families are begotten, it's a perfect activity for the Grihasthas if it is done according to the rules and regulations. But just to understand that the sex activity, if it is not directed towards Krishna consciousness, to have children in Krishna consciousness, then it is a very mundane and very binding activity. Prabhupada wrote, that's from a Back to Godhead article which he wrote in 65. When one begins to understand that one is really seeking the Lord when looking for happiness in sex enjoyment, then one can begin to make progress in properly directing this drive. There is also sexual enjoyment in the spiritual world, but it is far different. Transcendental sex enjoyment is eternal, infinite, undefiled by material contact, and indescribable. The love man and woman experience on earth is but a limited and perverted reflection of the great ocean of love and bliss that is in the spiritual world. But the problem is, a man will not set aside one pleasure until he receives a greater one. Therefore, Krishna says, the objects of the senses fall away from a man practicing abstinence, but not a taste for them. In other words, if we become conscious of, then we can do some austerities by which we regulate things. But that is fine to a certain extent, but it will, Sri Prabhupada explains, it will not take away the taste for that activity. But then he says, but even the taste for, let's say in this case, for sex life, falls away when the Supreme is seen. So the surrender of sexuality is easy when a greater pleasure awaits a man, but impossible when he gets nothing in return. So in other words, the solution to be free of the impetus for sense enjoyment is to develop a higher taste. We heard that sound before. It's the boutique of the museum. So so that is the solution for mundane activity, is to develop a higher taste, and then we can easily drop the lower taste. And then he is, so Prabhupada is addressing here the Hatha Yoga. Where he says, Hatha Yoga has led many people astray in its emphasis on bodily development. Many Hatha Yoga teachers only incidentally mention union with the Supreme Lord as the goal of all yoga. Instead, they advertise that their students look and feel younger and enjoy healthy lives into their old age. So Suprabhupada is making the point, although Suprabhupada has nothing against Hatha Yoga, just that the in the West many times Hatha Yoga is promoted, because then it gives you more strength, more health. And then what do they do with that more strength, more health? They waste it. That is Prabhupada's point. The Hatha Yoga by itself, if one needs it for you know, for good health, so that one can serve the Lord better, that is a perfect use. But if one uses it to get more healthy, so that one can enjoy more materially, that has the opposite effect of what is Hatha Yoga is actually meant for. So Prabhupada writes further, when you see a man who is repining at the approach of death, what is the meaning of repining? It looks like going towards death. But when you see a man who is repining at the approach of death, is not his reluctance a sufficient proof that he is not a philosopher, but a philosoma, not a lover of wisdom, but a lover of the body, and probably at the same time a lover of either money or power or both? That's a statement of Socrates.
That means that, like what
it
says in this verse, he's being scared.
Yeah.
Repining, he says it's wrong back.
Socrates considered the body an unnecessary encumbrance for the man in pursuit of wisdom, for it is always getting in his way. All men know that the body must eventually be surrendered, but the wise, established in the eternal and unmanifested self, neither fear nor avoid his surrender. Surrender can either be gradual or sudden. This is the age of Kali Yuga, an age characterized by disagreement, ignorance, and sudden death. In this age, it is best not to waste time. Mankind is already on the brink of a nuclear holocaust. Total surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord is the only solution. In the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna gives the example of the asvata tree. Asvata literally means that which does not endure till the next day. Like you have flies that live for one day. Because of its changing nature, the entire phenomenal material world is compared to the asvata tree. Because everything is so temporary. And this conversation with one young man who is asking questions in relation to the attachment. Young man says, in other words, one has to make an intellectual effort, or at least in order to, then Prabhupada says, it is not very highly intellectual. One has to understand, first of all, that he is not this body. That anyone can understand. That I am changing my body, but I am there. Therefore, I am not this body. Just like a child's coat, when he is a young man, later that coat does not fit him anymore. So, Prabhupada gives that as an example of changing, that the body is always changing. So that young man means he has got another body. But the young man knows, he remembers that he was a child. He was on the lap of his parents or his relatives. So that body is no longer existing. That body of that child, when we are adult, then our body of our childhood is not existing anymore. I've got a different body. But I, who had a childhood body, I'm existing. Is it very difficult to understand, any one of you? The body has changed, that is a fact. But I am the same. What is that? That I am the same means the soul. The body has changed from baby to big man. But I am the same. Soul is the same. And then the boy says, the demands of the body makes it, the attachment of the body, and then Prabhupada says, no, attachment to the body is not bad, just like you have got a nice car, so you have got attachment for it. But you must know that you are not a car. That everyone can understand, a child can understand. But because I have got attachment for something, it does not mean I am that thing. I've got attachment for so many things. That is natural. Anything I possess, I've got attachment. But that does not mean I am that thing. But here the mistake is that because we have got attachment for the body, I am identifying myself as the body. That is ignorance. That is illusion. Prabhupada continues, otherwise as long as one is in the bodily concept of life, one must suffer material conditions. The body is subject to its own principles of birth, death, old age and disease. But one who is situated in spiritual life, yato bhakti radakshaje, has no birth, no death, no old age and no disease. And then he makes another point. It's an interesting point also that sometimes we see, somebody may point out, yeah, but he is you know, involved in service the whole day, but at the same time he is suffering from disease. So Prabhupada addresses that point here by comparing it to the Ganga. One may argue that we may see a person who is spiritually engaged 24 hours a day, but he is still suffering from disease. In fact, however, he is neither suffering nor diseased. Otherwise, he could not be engaged 24 hours a day in spiritual activities. The example may be given in this connection that sometimes dirty foam or garbage is seen floating in the water of the Ganges. This is called Niradharma, a function of the water. But one who goes to the Ganges does not mind the foam and dirty things floating in the water. With his hand, he pushes away such nasty things, bathes in the Ganges, and gains the beneficial results. Therefore, one who is situated in the spiritual status of life is unaffected by foam and garbage or any superficial dirty thing. This is confirmed by Sri Rupa Goswami. A person acting in the service of Krishna with his body, mind, and words is a liberated person, even within the material world. So I will stop here. Any comments?
Thank you for the answer. And I was wondering, because the verse is talking about fear and how it is useless to study scriptures if at the end of life we are not free from fear. And I was wondering, what is the right way to study scriptures? Because sometimes I was wondering, you know, like we are not attentive enough, or we are not applying the scripture properly, or that we are not submissive enough, or we don't have the right attitude. I guess there are many things that can lead us not to be free from fear. Can you comment on that, please?
Yeah. So Bhakta Marak is asking you know, we don't seem always to do the right thing. How can we study in a way that we don't fall in the category, as the verse says, that ultimately we have practiced Krishna consciousness for so many years, and then at the end we are still afraid of giving up this body. So how can we make sure that this doesn't happen to us? So... yeah, I mean, the studying of the... because the solution for the problem is knowledge, is understanding. The ideal is, of course, that this knowledge becomes realized knowledge. And so the regular study of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam should lead to this real understanding. And especially if you live in community, and on top of that we also discuss these points with other devotees, that will churn the deepening of the understanding. And in this way we will avoid that we are, you know, practicing so much time Krishna consciousness and we don't understand lesson number one. So Prabhupada called it to be the first lesson, that I am not this body. This is the first thing that needs to be understood in order to move further, deeper in Krishna consciousness. but it's an obstacle. It's not for nothing that Srila Prabhupada hammers that the head of that same nail many, many times. So that is, you know, that is because we are lacking that realization. And therefore studying is very important. Srila Prabhupada did make statements, if you don't study my books, you will not be able to stay in Krishna consciousness. If we don't study, then we will not pass this first basic test. So we should also think of what are the best ways. One good way is to regularly study. Second one is to study in the association of other devotees and to discuss the philosophy. This is something we sometimes lack. We speak about so many little and practical things in our daily life, and of course there has to be also room to some extent for that, and there has to be space to discuss about our service, etc. But we should also get into the habit of discussing with each other straight Krishna consciousness. And especially doubts. When we read, then questions come up, and we should express these doubts to other devotees, senior devotees, even equal devotees, you know, and explain to younger devotees. So in this way we churn the nectar, we churn Krishna consciousness. And that's how realizations come. Srila Prabhupada also explains that a devotee who explains the philosophy to other devotees is very dear to Krishna. Just like a preacher is also dear because he gives Krishna to the people. But Srila Prabhupada especially mentions about how dear a devotee is who explains Krishna consciousness to the devotees. So it's not, it's not that, now we are devotees and that's it, you know. Now our attention only goes to new devotees. No. Srila Prabhupada at some point also said, now we should work on the quality. Should work on the quality of the devotees who are within ISKCON, within Krishna consciousness. Now we should work on the quality of their Krishna consciousness. And that means studying, that means Krishna Katha, that means discussing. That's for it, Prabhu.
The word we find, that you had a question about, I didn't recognize it myself. And Krishna Kshetra from the dictionary, it's a very old word. It goes back to the 16th century. It's not very much used now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a feature of Prabhupada's age, you could say. In his schooling, you probably heard it in his schooling.
Mm-hmm. Manahar Prabhu? Manahar Prabhu? Not really.
I wanted to make a little comment on what you said that we should share. We should actually inquire from seniors and share with equals. I had an experience years ago that I had. It's about you were saying about doubt specifically. We have a doubt from seniors. This doubt was so heavy on my mind. I thought this doubt is, I cannot reveal it to anybody because whoever I tell it is just all down goes Krishna consciousness. There's no way to resolve this. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was really heavy on my mind. And I was living with it for a while. And then one day I just somehow I guess something came popped in my mind and said, you just reveal it to it. The first person I was visiting and the sudden like this hall. And next to me was Bhakta who just joined up. I have very shortly joined, really burning you because I got this idea that I would not carry this anymore in me, I would just say. And I told to this Bhakta, you have such an amazing answer. I said, okay, good, you know. So it's really this importance of sharing the doubts and Krishna can speak.
No, I just wanted to. First of all, thank you. It was very nice lecture. And I just wanted to test about this yoga. What Prabhupada said, because I had a teacher, and it was exactly what he did. Sometimes he would say, you know, we're not about it. But the main thing was he was encouraging people. You look so healthy, and exactly like he said, like now you're old, but you're getting better, and you can more enjoy your life. Although he knew on the body, but that was the main propaganda kind of. So it was exactly what Prabhupada said. I just wanted to, as an eyewitness, I wanted to confirm that. And one last thing I also wanted to comment, and maybe you can also comment on, is that, you know, I think only Prabhupada makes a translation like that about the body being filled with urine and stool. And, you know, presentator, you both had to laugh. It's not really so much in the Sanskrit. So I just wanted to ask you, you know, what do you make of that? Because my personal feeling is that Prabhupada, like you say, is kind of hammering down that point. But I would still like your comment on it, that why Prabhupada is doing it. Is it too, like, you know, a broader audience, it might seem extreme or not a good translation. And I thought it was brilliant, personally. I thought it was in line with the verse also.
Maybe we can ask Krishna Kshetra Prabhu to comment on that one.
Well, it's often, very often the case that Prabhupada will bring into his word-for-word translation the gloss of one or more of the previous. Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, for example, his elaboration on the word kulka said, you know, the body was full of stool and urine, and then Prabhupada went in. So it's not necessarily that Prabhupada was taking the liberties by himself, but sometimes he would, because as he said, his purports are his ecstasies, so you may wonder what kind of ecstasy is this. It's still in Europe, but it's a kind of, intense feeling that, you know, if my readers are going to get a point, how more graphically can we make the point of this?
Yeah, it fits very much with the fact that in Kali Yuga there is not so much time to beat around the bush, as they say. So just get straight to the point. Rukmini? Recommendation, where to die?
How to die or where to die?
Often we don't have these choices so much. I mean, death comes sometimes also sudden. But if we have a chance, I mean, Srila Prabhupada is advising us to leave our body in the holy town. And of course he established in the West also holy dams. So if we can't make it for whatever reason to Mayapur Vrindavan, Jagannath Puri, then we can also you know, choose for a place, if you have a choice, choose for a place like Radhadesh or other temples where you are surrounded by devotees. Like Lala Samai, I mean, it is beautiful. I mean, she, you know, she left her body surrounded by devotees having kirtan. So, you know, that's a beautiful way of leaving this body. You don't know, so.
Yes, a common request in asking Krishna Chaitanya about that, because he has the most knowledgeable in Sanskrit. The term he used for this body of the student union is called Kalevaram. Usually Kalevaram is the body, but Ku many times is used in meaning something bad, something negative, isn't it? So that could be, so it's not necessarily in the Sanskrit, it seems to be.
Well, it's suggested. Either Prabhupada himself or earlier has probably a different department, it's probably elaborated. But yes, who means that?
So it's not just body, it's a bad body, it's a spirit.
But Mark, last question.
Also a comment, but we are maybe not in a position to graphically tell people things like that to our visitors, for example, but we are probably in a position. So it's that way, as you mentioned, can you wear applies to wear shorts and to shake us up? We are probably in a position to say that.
I mean, Prabhupada is trying to wake up those who are really interested in Krishna consciousness. So once we have that understanding, then it's up to us, according to time and circumstances, to bring it to others. To some, we may have to also be a little graphic. To others, we may have to be more, you know, pack it nicely, pack it differently. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaur Premanande.